This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, we're gonna get into it all today. Broncos season is over. They lose the AFC Championship 10-7 to the New England Patriots. There's a lot of thoughts rolling around in my brain. Michael's depressed. We've got Michael's going to be on the therapy couch today, as are the Hooligans. We'll talk about it. And we'll switch gears a bit, talk some hoops with my guy Brock Wisney. And then we'll get right back into it. All day. Give me your thoughts. The whole show starts now. Some sad music there, Mike. That was the plan. But sometimes things don't go according to plan. Just ask the Broncos offense and their promising young starting quarterback, Bo Nix. Sometimes you are left with a backup quarterback who hadn't played a football game. Well, a regular season football game in 2 years. Sometimes you decide on 4th-and-1 with no run game and a backup quarterback that going for it is better than taking the points in a defensive slugfest. And sometimes Mother Nature has other plans for your Super Bowl destiny. And the Broncos lose. 10-7. We got a lot of thoughts running around. Jared Stidham, I guess we'd start. Does it start there? Does it start with the quarterback conversation? Because that's kind of, that's where we went all week, was is it that big of a drop-off? And I maintain that at this point in his career, it's not that big of a drop-off. Jared Stidham can't do the same things that Bo Nix does with his legs. And that was kind of evident. We saw that stuff. But I'm not going to blame the loss on Jarrett Stidham. I mean, let's face it. We get midway into the third quarter. Both offenses were like, let's just punt. Let's just play the field position game. Nobody's doing anything in this weather. So let's just punt back and forth and see what happens. And obviously, with Denver, you have no run game. You ran the ball 24 times. Your starting running back, R.J. Harvey, carried the ball 13 times. This was a very similar story to what we saw throughout the course of the season. There was a lot. I mean, I go back to one game in particular. Denver at home on a nice night back in whenever that was. Was it October, November? Denver wins over the Las Vegas Raiders 10-7. And you go look at that game, it was a three and out, 5 plays and a touchdown, 5 plays and an interception, 3 and out, 11 plays and a missed field goal, 3 and out, 4 plays and a field goal, 3 and out, 3 and out, or an interception. This happened a lot throughout the regular season. Bo Nix did find that magic against a lot of these teams in the fourth quarter and found ways to overcome a lot of that. I think as you add more weapons, hopefully they do in the offseason, Bo will get better. But I'm seeing this all over the interwebs today, specifically throughout the state of Colorado. And it's if Bo Nix is in that game, Denver wins by maybe multiple scores. If Bo Nix is in that game to start the fourth quarter when we flipped sides, Bo drives down and the Broncos go up in that game. First off, how many snow games have we seen Bo Nix play? Have we seen him play any? Have we seen him play any in the NFL? You're telling me that Bo is invincible. And you don't remember the rain game his rookie year, I get it, against the New York Jets with Aaron Rodgers and Bo? That both were terrible. It was pretty wet yesterday. So we're just dismissing this. We're just throwing out ifs. Yes, Bo Nix is the better, more athletic quarterback than Jarrett Stidham. I'm just not ready to do this. Obviously, if Bo's in, this game changes. In the second half of this game, with the snow coming down, dude, Jim Nance and Romo didn't even talk about X's and O's anymore. It was every time it was about the elements, and you can barely see, and that's what the discussion was. So it was kind of a throwout. Whoever had the lead at the time the snow started was probably going to be the one that won, and unfortunately, that was the New England Patriots. Drake May, dude, I know he's had some weird performances in the playoffs, but that guy was runner-up, at least, for MVP. He couldn't do anything in the snow other than run. So we can say this all day that if Bo's in the game, Denver walks out of there easily. Well, if they kick the field goal, whether it's Bo Nix or Jarrett Stidham on 4th and 1, and I do like Bo in that situation better than Stidham on 4th and 1. I like, you know, you audibled out of the run play, which we heard, and they go for it. They go for the play action pass, and I do like Bo there better. Maybe you convert that. But let's just stop pretending that didn't look a lot like most Broncos games this year. 3 and out early, you settle for 3, you have a long drive, you settle for 3, and or you do get a crazy deep touchdown, just a nice throw by Bo Nix, and then things slow back down. We've seen that play out. We saw it starting that way against the Buffalo Bills, and then James Cook fumbles it, and that kind of flipped the game upside down. But I'm seeing, you know, our friend Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, if Bo's in the game, this is a much bigger lead. Denver rolls in this game. Do I think there's a quarterback controversy? No. It's Bo's team. You got to get better around him. But based on what my eyeballs saw all season, that first half looked like a typical Denver Broncos football game. Defense is going to put the stop on, going to play lights out. Probably not force a lot of turnovers, and Denver's going to play the punt game. Difference? The backward pass. That was the difference. And does Bo make that play? Probably not. Things changed in that situation.
I mean, there was no momentum going the Patriots' way, and then they got some momentum, and then all momentum stopped. That was the difference in the game. And you have to blame that on Stidham, but there's plenty of blame to go around. I mean, if you give him more time, more...
Offensive line wasn't good.
I mean, he was under pressure a lot. Miners got beat a few times, and yeah. That's not a Miners thing. He didn't get beat like
Stidham
that a lot.
Stidham was rolling out a lot. As soon as that ball was snapped, he had to quickly roll out to the right and cut off the left side of the field. And I'm not putting the blame on a very good offensive line. It was excellent pass rush or in pass block. But let's face it, part of that is Bo's legs. He got out of a lot of stuff. And, you know, if you're not giving up hits and sacks, that's going to look good on the resume. A lot of times we don't see the story of, well, Bo moved quickly up into the pocket. He moved quickly out of the pocket, and he went forward for positive yards. The quick question, simple question and answer from me: if Bo Nix is in the first half, are the Broncos up at halftime? And I'm trying to be logical and honest with you. Based on the offense that I saw in the majority of the season, would lead me to believe that maybe it's a pretty similar score.
I think it's a similar score, but you look at some of those throws. Some of those throws are, I'm just not on the same page with the wide receiver.
And we had a lot of drops in this game.
Yeah.
And you had no run game in this game.
I think the game, Bo Nix wins the game.
Yeah.
It's not a blowout.
I think that on Friday, if Bo Nix is playing in that game when I'm making the picks, I'm still saying the Patriots win. I might have felt better about the Broncos covering, which they did cover anyway. I'm just not ready to sit here and say that's a good New England defense. And then you had the elements of the, you know, the weather poured in, and this, we're just dismissing things. And that's a dangerous way to live. Like, oh no, Bo's, he's driving down in that fourth because the wind's at his back and all that stuff. We haven't seen him play in the snow. And the worst weather I saw Bo Nix play in was against the New York Jets, and it was raining the whole time, and he was bad. He was very bad, atrocious. So was Aaron Rodgers. So everybody was doing the stitty for the city thing. I wasn't that guy either. I was excited because it was the AFC Championship, but I wasn't sitting here saying Stidham's going to go light it up. I did throw out the what-if scenario of what if he does. After he threw that touchdown pass to Marvin Mims, I thought he might light it up. I didn't expect that. I expected the offense to look about like that. And go back and look at Denver's regular season, man. I mean, there were plenty of games where, I know it was in London, but you struggled against the Jets. Bo threw for 174 yards in that game. Against the Chargers, he threw for 153. Houston, very good defense. He threw for 173 against Las Vegas in a short week. Okay, 150 yards against an atrocious Las Vegas Raiders team. So I'm just trying to be responsible with this take, I guess. I don't think that Stidham was that bad. I don't think he was that good either. But I'm also not willing to say that Bo is the obvious, like, yes, he had comeback wins against a bad New York Giants team that likely decided to fire Dable after that game. He had great comebacks against Philadelphia, who was in a really weird spot when they played them. There were a lot of, like, kind of crazy things that just happened, and the Broncos took advantage of that. And it's also why those of you that are saying Sean Payton is the problem in Denver, you're out of your mind. I disagree with the call. But, you know, it's a football game, man. A lot of things make up a loss in a game, and you can point to a couple of things. I did think when they went for it and didn't get it, I thought right then, that's going to be a big factor. That's probably going to come back to haunt them, because I didn't see a lot of points being scored. After the first quarter, I didn't see a lot of points being scored. So I thought, take advantage of it while you're here. Get the three, trust your defense. And it did make a pretty significant impact. Go Pokes, I can't read that whole thing. Was Stiddy blanky? The question, was it answered? He cussed in it, so I won't say it. But was he bad in this game? Was he crappy? I mean, he had a better game than Drake May.
He had that one play. That one play that was really bad. Outside of that, he played kind of like, you know, Teddy Bridgewater would. He was pretty steady.
Yeah, he's just kind of he's a backup quarterback, man. My whole take was this just isn't going to be that big of a drop at this point in Bo's career. Now, that is being perceived by a lot of you as I don't believe that Bo is going to be the future or the franchise for this team. If I was pressed, I'd say, yeah, Bo's probably the guy. You're going to have certainly an interesting discussion when his rookie contract gets close to running out. Do you pay him big, 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 big money? And then you're going to be in a tough spot and you're not going to pay defensive standouts as much? Yeah, these will all be big questions. You said Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. Brady, is Sean a great dome coach or a good open field fair weather coach? The analytics are different in adverse circumstances. He might have a discussion with the OC. Take the 3 points. Texters coming in all over the place. Oklahoma. When the Broncos were 2-2 early in the season, there's no way I would have expected the Broncos to be in the AFC Championship game. They need to be very focused on getting more weapons for Bo. Grateful they made it as far as they did. Yeah, I think that's the common theme that I go back to. If you have a George Pickens or whatever, just an elite type of receiver, is that make Bo's life a lot easier? And then his progression, he gets better because he has more confidence in his weapons. The receivers weren't great yesterday. There was a lot of drop passes, and Cortland Sutton kind of disappeared. Dixon texting in, Peyton thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of debate from me on the arrogant stuff from Sean. And I know a lot of times the analytics probably would have said to go for it, but did the analytics take the weather into account? Like, if you knew it was going to be that bad and points were going to be even more hard to come by in the second half of the game because the snow's going to be coming down, you even more reason to kick the field goal. That's part of game plan, isn't it? And Cody the weather guy was all over the forecast, and it was forecast that it was going to start snowing around 3 o'clock or so. For us, it was like around 1 o'clock. So it was clear in Denver at the start of the kickoff, and then it just slowly got worse. That's part of game planning. That's, just like John Fox said, Super Bowl crowds aren't loud, and he didn't want his team to practice with loud music and loud crowd noise, so he didn't do it. And then one of the first plays of the game was a snap over Peyton Manning's head, and that kind of turned the Super Bowl upside down against Seattle. The same thing goes for the weather. What's the weather going to look like? What's it going to be like as we progress through the game? So if it's going to get bad in the second half and we think points are going to be hard to come by, get them when you can. And that certainly points back to a rough decision that was costly. The Jarrett Stidham turnover was extremely costly. Travis, the new guy texting in, I think that Sean Payton could have made some better calls, like kicking that field goal. I think Jarrett did. Jarrett could have made some better plays, but I don't think it's anyone specific to blame. I think they just lost. Just got outplayed, and sounds cliche, but New England just wanted it more. Faith says snow or no snow just really exposed that Denver needs to spend on some weapons. Yeah, I think that's where I'm going back to at the beginning of the season, or throughout the course of the season. That's what I saw.
Yeah, that I was so high on the wide receivers at the beginning of the season. I remember just going off and saying how great they were, and they just disappeared. And that injury yesterday didn't help, but
yeah.
How much of a difference would it have made? I mean, dropped balls, crappy weather, cold, rock-solid ball. It was tough yesterday.
It was tough.
And I feel,
the elements were tough.
I feel that if Bo was in there, they would have won, but it would not have been a blowout. Anyone who's saying it's a blowout is absolutely wrong.
I still think
if you're going to a 13-10 game.
If you're going to do the Bo thing, then it's like, well, do they kick the field goal? Do they kick the field goal and go? Because that would have put them up. Wouldn't that put them up 10-0 at that point? So do you do that? Whether it's Bo in there or Jarrett Stidham, because this offense, Mike.
If it's Bo, you probably could go.
This
Jarrett
offense didn't
not.
Put up a lot of points throughout the year. They put up 19 against a JV Chargers team. They put up 20 against a Chiefs team without Patrick Mahomes. And they put up 34 against Green Bay, 24 against the Raiders, 18 against Houston, 13 against the Jets. I mean, it's not like this was an offense that was lighting teams on fire. Go Poke says, so the Patriots were better than we thought. No, I thought the Patriots would win. I thought they'd cover. Go Pokes, I understand you completely on the topic of Bo, by the way. Yeah, I think there's a way that you can say, I think Bo's the quarterback of the future. I just don't think replacing him 2 years into his career is the most impossible task known to man, because you're not replacing a Lamar Jackson or a Joe Burrow with guys like Joe Flacco and such. You're not replacing a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. He ain't there yet. And if you think he is, you're not watching the same game I'm watching.
Yeah, a lot of people hated Jordan Love at the beginning of his career. He wasn't that good. Now he's a lot better than he was.
Yeah. Dixon says, even if they convert on the fourth down, there's no guarantee they score a touchdown. Many teams convert a fourth down early in a drive and still settle for a field goal, take the points with a backup quarterback and bad weather. Well, I mean, the Drake May, everyone's bitching about the Drake May, the quarterback sneak, saying, oh, that should have been measured and all that stuff. Well, they ended up settling for a field goal anyway. They kicked a field goal anyway. So the fix is in, and oh, they screwed the Broncos. Well, the defense made the stop, and New England, right? Am I right on that? Didn't they? That was the same possession. Kicked
I believe
the field
so.
Goal. The touchdown they got was after the turnover. So we're going to get into this today. We're going to unpack it. Certainly a lot of heavy Broncos talk today. We are going to talk some hoops with my guy, Brock Wisney. And the Bears dropped it over the weekend to Northern Arizona. So what's next for the UNC Bears? We'll chat with Brock coming up here in just a bit. Give me your Broncos thoughts, your takes, what's next for Denver, and your thoughts on the quarterback dynamic and, you know, defensively what this team was able to do. They were great. They didn't force those turnovers. I thought Hufanga was going to get an early interception there, but it went right through his hands, and that was a rough go too. But if anyone's complaining about the defense, I mean, it's tough to force those turnovers, man. It is. Drake May played a very careful football game. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKX.
High school basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems presents The Brock Wisney Show on KFKA.
All right, welcome in. We're switching gears here for a bit. The Brock Wisney Show, presented by our great friends over at Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. And Brock, here we are, man. Yeah. Rough weekend for the Bears, too.
Yeah, we're back.
Against Northern Arizona. We really needed some positives today.
Did.
So, obviously, a rough loss against the Lumberjacks on Saturday. And, you know, 81-77, and you guys still find yourself in a really tough spot ever since Big Sky Conference play, we're in a difficult situation.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because, you know, you're trying to find, you know, what can we fix and what can we learn from these things. And we go into that game and we shoot great from three. We shoot pretty decently from the field. And I think that, you know, it just boils down to a bunch of paper cuts still. You know, we're not making any big mistakes, you know. It's just a lot of little mistakes, which, especially with the team that we have, we got to be able to minimize those. And, you know, we've been saying the same stuff and that it's going to get better, but it's time to make a change here and, you know, get some wins.
Now, so I asked you this last week after, you know, the rough couple of games there. You know, where are you guys at mentally with this kind? Because we know, listen, Northern Arizona is kind of at the bottom of the Big Sky, but sometimes that doesn't matter. Big Sky is difficult.
Yeah.
We've seen those tournaments roll around, and sometimes teams that everybody casts off can go and do some crazy things.
Yeah.
So what's the vibe like right now?
Yeah, you know, the most important thing is just, you know, still staying steady. You know, whether it's going into practice today, still having energy, and I think the guys will. We haven't had a bad practice all year, which is crazy to say. Even, you know, through these Big Sky moments where we're 1-7 and it's not going perfect, we haven't had a bad practice. So, you know, the vibes are still good. I think that there's a little bit of splintering and fracturing that can happen that's kind of below the surface. It's like a little hairline fracture, right? So you don't directly see it, but maybe guys are getting into their own deal, or maybe a guy that's on the end of the bench not playing, you know, he's just checked out, or maybe a red shirt is like checked out, worried about the next year. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, trying to find what exactly can we do to keep everybody involved. And there's not an exact solution that you're going to have, right? Like we're going to have a players meeting today. You know, I think that's something that will be good for us. You
talk
know?
To me about that. Is that you talk to coach first and say, hey, we'd like to schedule a players meeting?
We didn't even talk to the coach.
You're just going to get the guys?
Yeah. Quinn texted us after the game. We're like, okay, guys, Monday night, we're all going to meet at my place and just talk. We don't even know what it's about, right? We don't even know exactly what we're going to say, but you know, I think that's something that you got to do, get together and just, whether it's checking in on each other or just, you know, saying, you know, hey, like, this hasn't gone how we want so far. what can we do to change that, and how are we feeling about it? And I think that that's something that's going to go well. And it's not a lack of effort from anybody.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's just sometimes, you know, stuff doesn't go your way, and what can we do to fix it? And that's the first thing.
Sometimes when you hear this, whether you hear it at the college level or the pro level, you hear players only meeting.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can mean what, you know, is that a negative against the mm-hmm. coaching staff? Or like me, I've always viewed it as, this is a chance to, it's like unfiltered,
yeah.
and it's a chance for guys that maybe don't talk all the time to just kind of, whatever it is, could turn into, mm-hmm. hey, we're airing it out here, or we're building each other up, whatever. But you're telling me, hey, it's not like one of those. It's not like a negative situation. We just feel like we kind of want to have one of those no holds barred.
Yeah.
Every player's getting the floor.
Yeah, there's no negatives at all. You know, we all still love being around each other, and there's no problems, no cancers on the team. And I think that it comes down to, you know, having a set, you know, meeting where the players can kind of talk about the season and how it's going. And we just without the coach's opinions. Now, obviously, Smiley's great, and we're going to have meetings today and figure that stuff out. But, you know, I think it's just a moment where we can kind of be open with each other and not worry about, you know, the coach hearing what we're saying to each other, right? So it's not a negative one. I think that it's one that, you know, can definitely benefit.
Well, and with the leadership on this team, with you, with Zach Block and Quinn Danker, I don't imagine it turns into a, hey, we're bashing the coaching staff.
No, it won't be any of that, no, at all.
Now, will Smiley be made aware of this? Will he know that you guys are all getting together?
Yeah, I'm sure he knows. I told Coach Reed yesterday at the airport that we were going to have one, and I'm sure he would approve of it too, right?
Well,
can never have too much, you know, cohesiveness or attempt to, you know, stay together.
Yeah, I mean, you could all get together and just say, hey, you know, we're going to watch a movie, or you could all get together and say, no, we're going to talk about our basketball team.
Exactly. Either or works, and it's just kind of, you know, just showing that we're here and we're making an effort, you know, to make a change, that type of stuff.
Yeah, and these are sometimes those kind of things can really be powerful.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, do you envision a players-only meeting kind of being like, hey, we're opening it up, air out your frustrations too?
Yeah.
And that can be tough. You got to be pretty, all of you guys got to be obviously pretty confident and pretty self-aware and all that.
Understanding
of each other.
But sometimes
that can go south.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's always that chance, but we don't have any, you know, personalities on this team that would take anything like that. I think that they realize and everybody realizes how much time we've put in and how much we actually care, that this is for the benefit of the team, right? Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any selfish ambition here. It's just purely, what could we do better? What do we think? And how are we going to get back to winning games?
Where can I not? You don't have to give me like the exact location, but are we meeting like at somebody's place?
Just in Quinn's apartment.
Okay.
We meet there and do Bible study too, so it's nothing out of the ordinary.
So Quinn called the meeting, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Quinn starts this off. Well, around the table, when he's done, he's going to go to Brock Wisney. Brock, what do you have to say about how things are going down? Can you tell us what your response might be?
You know, I'm curious what exactly Quinn's, you know, approach is going to be. I know that mine is just going to be kind of, I just want to understand where everybody's at, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure guys know that up at the top, you know, the guys that are playing right now and guys all the way at the end of the bench, I want them to know that we are, first of all, on the same level of standing, and second of all, their job matters just as much as our job, right? So I just want to make sure that when we push through this season, we can stay present, and we can realize that no matter what your role is or your spot, first of all, we're all at the same level. Like, I'm not better than this guy. And I want him to realize also that my job is not going to be any more important than his. That's the first thing that would come to mind.
Is this where, and obviously having the tournament at the end the way it is, because regardless of how the rest of the season unfolds, you'll still be in that tournament.
Yeah.
This is where it's a great example of why this is, hey, even if it's a down season, there's still a prize to play for.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get in, or if this were football, once you're mathematically eliminated from a bowl game or at UNC's ranks, the playoffs, or winning your conference, then it's kind of like, you might start seeing dudes check out a little bit more. But in this case, no matter what happens, there's still going to be a tournament, and the Bears are still going
to
be in it.
That's why it's so important, you know, to keep guys on edge and keep guys, you know, pushing towards this goal, because we have goals still, right? So obviously we want to hit that sixth or higher seed, you know, to not play four games. And we want to make sure that we have momentum going into the tournament. So there's still a lot to play for. It's not like stuff is done and a 1-7 start is just completely detrimental. You know, it's just another chapter of our story this year, and I think that it's something, you know, that can define us as long as we take it the right way.
Yeah, and you're still at the, you know, we talked about this last week, avoiding that bottom four spot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you avoid that spot, then you get the first round bye.
Yeah.
So it's not undoable, because you look at Sacramento State, they're 2-5. Idaho State's 3-5.
Yeah.
Even Eastern Washington, Weber State have 4 losses too. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's going to take hard work. And I think that, you know, with this team that we have, it can absolutely turn around and we can do that. And I think it will. So, you know, just keeping optimistic and also just staying on edge, you know, understanding that we got to want it more than these teams.
Yeah, coming up on Thursday, you'll be back home against Idaho, and then you'll have Eastern Washington on Saturday. Well, Eastern Washington would be one of those teams. Idaho, right there.
Big,
you know,
ones, yeah.
You know, Eastern Washington's at 4 losses. That would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And finding a way to get Idaho, too, give them their 4th loss while you guys are trying to claw back up into the standings.
Yeah, you know, those are big ones, and every game from now on is a big one, right? But I think that going into those games, we're just going to have to be prepared and find a way to, you know, make sure that we're confident and just, you know, just going out there and playing with whatever we got left.
39 minutes after the hour, Brock Wisney sitting in with us today. I'm guessing you watched the game yesterday, the Broncos game, too. Yeah, this is where, man, there's times when I do this show and I come in, I say, man, the college basketball scene's red hot. The Bears are rolling. The Broncos are going to get that number one seed. The Nuggets are cooking. This is sports, though.
Yeah.
Joker goes down. Broncos lose. Bo Nix goes down. The Broncos lose the AFC Championship. The Bears hit some turbulence.
Yeah.
We're seeing it throughout the state for some of the basketball teams we talk about. You got to enjoy the highs, but embrace the lows, I suppose.
Well, I mean, this, you can't appreciate, you know, the highs unless you appreciate where you are right now. You know, this sets the table. You can't feel great about yourself if you don't know how the bottom feels. So.
11:40 the time. Brock Wisney sticking with us here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Michael's doing his best back there, Brock, to keep us positive.
I love it. Yeah,
normally
it's great.
He's your negative
music now.
Normally you're the negative one, and you're helping us through this.
Yeah,
Tim.
This is a first for me.
A rough go for the Bears. The Broncos are done. What else, man?
Oh man,
good
what
things.
Else?
Yeah, good things going on.
I mean, another day to, you know, go do whatever you can.
Yeah. We're alive. Like,
there's always some sort of blessings, right?
Do you feel like if you could just find a way? Get that one win, that it's such a mental thing right now. That
it is,
when you,
get,
you find yourself down by like 5 or 7+, it's like, man, we're really, the losses are at our back right now, and we've got all that kind of stacking up. Then it's just like every possession becomes so, there's so much pressure in every single possession.
It's crazy, because like look at our first half of the season where we're 10-3 or 9-1, however you want to look at it. I would probably say 6 to 7 of those games were decided by 5 or less points.
Yeah,
You look at this stretch right now where we're 1-7 in conference, probably like 6 of those games have been within 5 points. So it's so weird, because you go to that first stretch of the season, why did we win all those close games? And I think it comes from obviously that momentum, like you're mentioning. We got in those close games and we're like, oh, we got this. First of all, we got veteran scoring. We got guys that feel comfortable. We've been here before and we're winning those games. We get into this stretch and we lost, you know, those first two probably by big at the Montanas. And then we start having these close games. But instead of getting down by 5 and we're like, okay, we're about to win. We're about to do this. Like, we're comfortable in these situations. We're like, oh, again?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to lose again? And so, what, like you're saying, that one game skid, I think that we get this win under us, this next win under us, and I think that opens up, you know, our confidence and are able to relax under pressure and not get so tense in those moments.
Brock, I've always thought, from a fan's perspective, I've always thought, like, a blowout loss sucks, But sometimes you can learn more than from a blowout loss. When you keep losing close games, it's like, man, we do everything right until we don't, and then it just unravels and we can't recover. What's your take on that? Do you agree that sometimes a blowout's
absolutely
easier to take?
Like, look at a team like Virginia, let's say, back when they were the first number one seed to lose to a 16.
Yeah.
And that's just demoralizing, and everybody's saying Tony Bennett can't win. You know, he can't win these big games. His system doesn't work. And then, you know, they come back the next year, and he pretty much has guys like pissing blood almost.
Yeah.
You know, like these guys are coming out and they're fighting hard, and they go and they win the national championship. So like you're saying, that's definitely a thing. And it's hard when our team's playing so hard and we're still, you know, staying connected and we're doing everything coach is saying, and we're losing these close games. So I think that, you know, able to turn it around in these moments, if we can get this turnaround like we will, I think that it will benefit us.
I still am of the mindset when I watch this team play, like, I'm shocked when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I that's in my brain.
We so feel
that
the
means
same
I
way.
I feel that this is too good of a team to have this going. But, yeah, the mental stuff, basketball, there's a lot of mentals that go into the
there's
game of basketball.
Ton. There is a ton. I would say that's probably like 60%, you know, of the game. Maybe even like 70 or 80% is just, you know, that mental aspect. And it's so weird. You know, talent doesn't really judge always, especially in the Big Sky. All these teams are close, and it's just about getting back on track, you know, getting the guys back on track and making sure we don't lose confidence in who we believe we are.
Idaho coming up at home on Thursday, and then Saturday against Eastern Washington. We talked about where the standings are. These are two big ones in order for you guys to start clawing your way back in, because right now the goal is simple. Just for now, avoid the bottom four spot, and that's still doable.
It is. I would say that's the goal, and I say we're going to keep fighting for it regardless of what happens.
49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up with Brock. We got the Brock Wisney Show presented by Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com, because I know, just like how they work with businesses through thick and thin, they are diehard Bears supporters.
Shane will be there.
Shane will be there, man. He'll be there Thursday.
He will.
I would put money on that.
Yeah,
right?
Me too.
49 after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I mean, we don't have to go over the moon positive today, Mike. The Broncos are done for the season.
I need to get rid of this depression.
Okay.
Optimism's good.
We're trying. Brock's a pretty positive guy, so he certainly helped the case here. Brock, before you get out of here, man, game balls. I know it's tough, but we do it. It's part of
it.
You know, you game balls even in a loss. I just want to throw out, because you're not going to, you had 18 points in this game, 5 assists, 3 boards, a couple of turnovers too, but a solid outing overall. But where are we going with game balls?
Quinn Danker. Yeah, I thought he had a pretty solid game. I think he was like 16 points. Threw in 6 rebounds, about 5 assists, if I remember correctly.
And
he played good.
Yeah, like one of those quiet, approaching the triple-double mark with 16, 6, and 5.
Yeah.
So Quinn gets another one.
He does.
Yeah, he's on his way to winning the overall award,
the Cables, or
the,
no,
the
Big City
Big
Roadhouse.
City Roadhouse,
Big City
free,
Roadhouse award.
Free lunch on Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Michael.
Yeah. You're so positive back there, you have no problem buying our lunch. Yeah, I'll take that as a yes.
I refuse.
What do you do to get your mind? I know you're focused on basketball and you're going to be doing the player meeting and stuff, but there's got to be an outlet outside of basketball that can take you away, right?
Yeah, I would say for me, it's a few things. One, my faith, right? I stay strong in that regardless, because that's not going to waver, you know? I like hanging out with my girlfriend. We went to the movies last night, went to Mount Fuji. That little sushi spot.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that a movie?
No.
What'd you go see?
We watched the Anaconda movie, the one with Jack Black.
Any good?
It was good. It was, You know, it was a fun watch, stupid funny.
Just check your brain at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife loves monsters, and the worse the acting, the better. But this is like Jack Black and Paul Rudd.
It was pretty bad acting, but was I think really? That was the point of it. Yeah, you know, it was funny.
You ought to watch, dude. Are you a Jurassic Park guy at all?
Yeah, I've watched
the
it.
Most recent one. Was
I liked it?
You did?
I liked it.
Oh my gosh, it was. I thought it was like so it? Bad.
I understand, but I can look past some bad acting sometimes.
Well, sometimes we go and find those monster movies that are the acting so bad, the plot. So terrible, but it just makes it, if you know that going in.
Yeah.
So if we would have known that going into this Jurassic Park.
I don't have high expectations, unless it's like a Christopher Nolan film or like Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
but otherwise, I'm pretty open-minded.
Is really good. Seriously.
What?
Like, Godzilla Minus One, great
so
movie.
So it's no Godzilla. If it's Godzilla Minus One, it's a negative, so there's no Godzilla in the movie.
I don't know why it's called that.
That's weird.
I like
We
Godzilla
tried to watch
movies,
the one with Kurt Russell. I know we got to wrap up. The one with Kurt Russell, the series. I can't think of it. I'll shoot a text to you
because you're probably a Broncos fan.
Okay. Thanks for that. Brock, man, keep your head up, dude.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how this players meeting went.
Yeah.
And if we win on Idaho, I might ask your permission. I might say, hey, they had a players meeting.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do, I'm not the reporter guy. I'm not a gotcha guy. So, Brock, hang in there. You're going to get done.
Yeah.
You're
going to
win the next four in a row, five in a row. Next five in a row.
Next all of them in a row.
All of them. The next all of them in a row. All right. Hour two coming
Thanks
up
for
next.
Having me.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado. Proud partner of UNC Athletics. Member FDIC.